If you are there, I will start to read. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out. The terror of God fell on the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakuth. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him. Then he poured out a drink of offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Your word that speaks the truth. Your word that guides. Your word that inspires. Father, at the beginning of 2016, we have started by your word that you spoke to your servant, Jacob. He was inspired with what you spoke with him. Father, we pray that these words of yours will also inspire us as we journey into 2016. We believe your Holy Spirit will be guiding us. So, Father, open our inner hearts as we prepare to hear what the Holy Spirit will speak to us through these words of yours. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. I believe you've all enjoyed Christmas and New Year celebrations. Anyone who observed fireworks going around where you live? No? No? Yes. There were fireworks all evening and everywhere. And I observed in Dubai a hotel caught fire. But they said, "Well, we are not going to stop celebrating the approach of the new year with fireworks." So next to the hotel, there were people celebrating fireworks. So something cropped up in my mind. A hotel is burning. Lives could be lost. But people next are celebrating the approach of New Year. Where is compassion exactly in that scenario? So as I was preparing after reading this passage, this text in Jacob in Genesis 35 has prompted me to wonder if we have Christians who call themselves Christians, who are just on that journey, but they've forgotten their Christianity ethos. I spoke of compassion after seeing that fire. There are Christians who are traveling on this Christianity journey, but they've already no longer traveling with the Lord. God is a compassionate God. God is a loving God. God is a caring God. So if you are now traveling along this journey and calling yourself a Christian, and you no longer have compassion, you no longer have love, you no longer have care in your heart, are you still traveling with Christ? Not really. Those who are calling themselves Christians, they do exactly what Christ was doing. Christ was caring. Christ was loving. Today, I want to pose this question to you this morning. Are you still traveling with God in all the things that you do? If you're not, as we travel into 2016, I want to challenge you with this Genesis 35. Jacob had gone astray. Someone might say, why are you saying that? Because God was always speaking to him. Yes, God was always speaking to him, but he ignored God. Why did he go to Shechem? If you read chapter 34, you heard all that happened. This is where we hear of the first rape in the Bible. Jacob's daughter was raped. Besides that, his sons were murdering those who had raped their sister. All those things were happening. And here we get to chapter 35. God says, go to Bethel. Go to Bethel. The first thing that we observe here, God is saying, go and settle there. And God acknowledges himself to Jacob. He might have thought, well, maybe this is an imposter God. He said, I'm the Almighty God. To make sure that you are speaking to the right God. In this passage this morning, I've got seven things that I picked that I want you to understand. The first point I picked is doing God's will. That's the first point. Why am I saying that? If we go back to the text that we read this morning, what does it say? Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there. That's God's will. That's not what Jacob wants. That is God's will. Go up to Bethel and settle there. We cannot go to the actual Bethel itself, but I am saying this morning, Bethel is your heart. Amen. Bethel is your heart. Your heart is the one that is convinced for you to become a Christian, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Amen. So this is my Bethel. God is saying, go back to Bethel. That's my point number one. Yes, Jacob would have had hardships throughout 2015. We all had hardships in 2015. But now, God is saying, that is the past. We are traveling in 2016 now. I'm saying, go back to Bethel. Jacob, after realizing his mistakes that he was leading, he was going astray from what God wants him to do. He did God's will. Don't we say the only way is Essex? So the only way is to go back to God. When things are not going your way, the only way is Essex. The only way is back to God. Yes. So as we stand 2016, we need to go back to Bethel. Go back to that heart that convinced you to accept Jesus Christ. Are you still traveling with the Lord in all that you do? At work, at home, at school, even in the church. Yes, I agree. There's 100% of doing good things in the church. But are you traveling with the Lord? Are you traveling with the Lord? God is commanding you to go back to Bethel. We need to do God's will in 2016. If we want this church to grow, we need to go back to Bethel. Amen. If we need more people to come in this church, we need to go back to Bethel. Amen. We will see wonders because God is a caring God. God keeps his promise. Listen what he says. Can someone open Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 3 for me, please? 28.
If you obey the Lord your God, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country.
Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? If you do God's will, God will lift you above all the nations of this earth, and all the blessings will come towards you. So point number one, we need to do God's will. After Jacob had seen his mistakes, he said, wow, I'll go back to Bethel. So what about us, Christians, who are called Christians after the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it not a worthwhile thing for us to go back to Bethel? Now, point number two. Listen to this. This is one thing that stops us from going back to Bethel. Point number two is, deal with your foreign gods. Get rid of them. That's point number two. What are the foreign gods in our lives? A lot. I just want to give this example. Not to offend the ladies in the church. Some are so possessed when it comes to their dressing table. When they're up to do their makeup. I tell you, they would rather be late to church or late to work as they are doing their makeup. Right? So today in 2016, I'm saying, your makeup should come secondary to the work of God. Amen? Some people are so possessed by their cars. Their cars come on top and God second. Some people are possessed by their work. Their work comes first and God is second. Those are the little gods. These are foreign gods that hinders you from going to Bethel. God should come first, and all these other things should come second. So get rid of your foreign gods. In verse 2, Jacob tells his household and those with him, they should get rid of their foreign gods. What is the foreign god in your life? What is hindering you to go back to Bethel? As we journey into 2016, starting from today, bring your foreign god so that we can burn or bury them under the oak tree this morning. Isn't that lovely? You heard what God has promised in Deuteronomy, that if you do my will, I will lift you above all the nations. I will bless you. So don't hinder those blessings by holding on to foreign gods. The journey to Bethel starts by dealing with the sin in everyone else's life. If that is hindering you to come to Bethel. Where should we put our hearts to? Jesus said we should put our hearts where our treasure is. Jacob discovers that his heart is in Bethel, where the Lord is, so he went. Jacob acknowledged that the Lord has been with him through thick and thin. Even us in 2015, we were not alone. We traveled with the Lord. He cared for us. He healed us. He gave our food. He gave us accommodation. This didn't just come because we are clever, but God is a God of provisions. He provided all those things. We need to thank him. We need to put our heart, our treasure, on our heart. Our heart is on the Lord. Now, here is something that I want you to do with me, as Jacob said. So Jacob said to his household and all those who are with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you. Purify yourselves and change your clothes. Purify yourself and change your clothes. God is a holy God. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous people so that we can be closer to Him. So Jacob is saying, purify yourself, change your clothes. I'm also asking you that as we travel in 2016, change your clothes. Not the physical clothes. No, change your heart. Amen. Be purified for the Lord because the time has come. But before we do that, bring your foreign gods this morning. There is the oak tree there, the cross of Jesus. We'll bury them under the cross of Jesus. Bring those little gods. We'll bury them. There's a story that excites me in the book of Acts, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 19. I'll start on 17. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So the little gods might come in different ways. Sorcery, charms, magicians. So we want to bend all those things so that the word of the Lord can spread as it did at Ephesus. It's because all the little gods were bent. That leads us to point number three. When we do God's will, it does affect those around us. We go to verse 5 and hear what happened. Then they set out and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them so that no one pursued them. If you read this story of Jacob and his people, previously in verse 34, when his sons had murdered those people in Shechem. In normal practice, if someone attacks you, you retaliate back. Isn't that so? But in this scenario, they were not attacked back. The terror of God was around that place. Even us as well as we bury our little gods and worship the living God. Those around us, we hear about what we are doing. And that leads to point number three. That's the impact in the community. They will hear of what we are doing. I'm challenged by this verse in Proverbs 16 verse 7. Which says, when you do what's pleasing to the Lord, even your enemies will love you. Yes? Look, Jacob's sons had murdered all those people, but because now they were doing God's will, even their enemies didn't even pursue them. That will happen to us as well as we travel into 2016. We've buried our foreign gods and we are now worshipping the only living God. There will be an impact in the community. We will make a new community around us. Everyone has got a power to please the other person. Don't underrate yourself. You are created in the image of God. So there is a purpose in the community where you are. You can please someone as you are. Don't even underrate yourself. That leads me to point number four. We go to verse 7. There he built an altar and he called the place El Bethel because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Point number four is presence and protection of God. I've mentioned this to you, that we've had hardships in 2015. Now as we're in 2016, don't even say, God was not with me. Doesn't Paul say in Corinthians that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Whose Holy Spirit is it? Isn't that of God? So you were not alone in all that suffering that you went through in 2015. God was with you. And now as we journey into 2016, He wants you to know that His presence and protection is always going to be with you. Amen? So you are not alone. In verse 7, we hear that Jacob builds an altar for the Lord at Luz. And God was with him. Listen what Jacob does. He says the name of the place is El Bethel. That means God of Bethel. This is the same place where God first revealed himself to Jacob. Bethel to me, as I said earlier on, is your heart. God first revealed himself to you through your heart. So today, I want to say, go back to the first time when you received Jesus Christ. The same heart that you had that time. Go back to that situation and see if you are still in the same situation in 2016. As we go along, I want to tell you God's protection is always with you. I want to tell you God's presence is always with you. Whether you are away from Bethel, God is always speaking to you and He's saying, go back to Bethel. I will lead you. And that leads us to point number 5. Revival and restoration. As Jacob and his people journeyed back to Bethel, they had their up and downs, as I've already told you. You had also your up and downs in 2015. This teaches us that we are not alone in our sufferings. We are always with the Lord. The Lord meets us in our difficult situations. The Lord meets us in our happy times. So, we need to surrender 2016 in the hands of the Lord. In verse 8, we are told of Deborah, who was Rebecca's nurse. This story is a different story from what we are hearing. But why is it coming in here? We are told Deborah was Rebecca's nurse and died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Allon Bukoth. Here, the point that the Lord wants us to know is that through suffering, through death, through whatever you are going through, I am always with you. I didn't know when Jacob was coming back from his uncle, we didn't hear the reunion between Deborah and Jacob, because this is Rebecca's nurse. But she comes in here and we hear she has died. Where was the reunion? Maybe behind the scenes, they were communicating. And they reunited, and then she died. God is pointing to us that even in death, in suffering, He is with us. Point number 6 that I want to tell you is about reconciliation. In verse 9, after Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again, blessed him. Revival and restoration. God appeared to him again. And blessed him. This God that we are preaching in 2016 is the same God who was with us in 2015. But were we still traveling with him, or we were on our own? He's now talking of reconciliation. We need to be reconciled to the same God so that we can be traveling with him. God declares to Jacob that I'm God Almighty. And Jacob is told to be fruitful and increase in number. He is told that a community and nation will come from you. I want to say this morning, we are going to be fruitful because God has said it. This community, church community, is going to increase in number in 2016. Amen? God has said it. Yes, He said it to Jacob. But I'm saying to you this morning, the community that God is talking about is the community through the church. We will increase in numbers. We need to pray for increase in numbers. Because God has said so. The community will increase. This community will increase. If we reconcile to God, if we are restored, there's no doubt that this community will increase. If you are doubting, didn't Jesus Christ said, go and make disciples of men? That's the community that I'm talking about. We need more disciples in the work of the kingdom. Let's go and make more disciples of men. This year is a year of total surrender, so that we can make a godly community. On our own, with our own hands, we cannot. We need to surrender completely in 2016. Father God, we cannot do this on our own. We are back to Bethel. The moment you return to Bethel, God will lift you above the communities in the countries where you live. And He will bless you. That leads us to point number 7, reconnecting with God. After encountering God, Jacob set a reminder by placing a stone pillar to mark the meeting place. Have you met God in 2015? And have you placed a mark to say, God, I've met you today at Bethel. As I move into 2016, this stone will mark my reconnection with you. Have you marked that place? Yes, we celebrate the end of 2015. But what about the mark that God, I am with you, I'm traveling with you. Here is my mark. Jacob put a mark. So you have put a mark by those fireworks that were flashing around in the sky. They were putting a mark to end 2015. What about us, those who travel with the Lord? What is our mark in 2015 as we go into 2016 to say, the Lord, we are still doing your will. Have you put a mark? If not, I'm reminding you to go back to Bethel. As we go into 2016, make a mark. You cannot just go. You need to make a mark. Let me remind you, the place to reconnect with your God is your heart. As I said at the beginning of my sermon, Bethel is your heart. Jesus is standing at your heart and knocking. If anyone is hearing Him knocking, open that door and let Him come in. I pray that God will remove the heart of stone and give you a soft heart that will enable you to accept His call to go back to Bethel. My theme stated that a year of total surrender. This can only be achieved when we do God's will. If we don't go do God's will, this theme won't work. My theme was a year of total surrender. 2016 is a year of total surrendering to the Lord. In all that you do, your prayer, your personal life, your work life, anything, do it first in the name of the Lord. This is what I do every day when I get up in the morning, when I jump in my car. As I put my hands on my steering, I always say my little prayer. Lord, travel with me throughout the day. And when I get back home again, as I switch off the engine, I always say, thank you, Lord, for I have traveled safely with you. So in 2016, in everything that you do, surrender it to Him. Surrender it to Him, because again, God lives in you. In 2016, we need to see more people come into Bethel, encounter the living God. Church is not a place to socialize. It's for people to come and encounter God. Amen? So when someone comes here, is he going to say, I have met God in this church? Or he will say, oh, those people show fake love. They don't love from deep down their heart. When someone comes here, they must meet the living God. They must meet the Holy Spirit. We are going to do that in 2016, but not with our power, but with God's power. We will surrender to Him everything that we do. I want to remind you, Bethel represents the right relationship with God that starts in 2016. May God be blessed. Joshua said to his family, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What about you in 2016? Are you going to serve the Lord? We will stand up together and sing our closing hymn.